Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Welcome to another History of Motorsports in Motion. This one I'm going to call Soldered in Time. No family's racing story would be complete without mentioning the Sauter family. The history is far from written, as Johnny Sauter is making history on multiple levels to this day, namely the Camping World Truck Series, where at this time he is dominant with 4 wins and leads over Noah Gregson by 71 points. That's nearly 2 races worth. Jim Sauter, the father born June 1st, 1943, passed away October 31st, 2014 at 71. He started racing in 1964 in a modified at Raceway Park in Savage, Minnesota. Shakopee, Minnesota, maybe Prior Lake, Minnesota, depends upon who you ask. They all shared the same zip code. He quickly moved up to late models. He raced in all 3 of NASCAR's National Series and is best known for having been a test driver for the IROC, International Race of Champions, alongside Dave Marcus and Dick Trickle, as well as winning 2 championships in the Midwest-based ARCO Challenge Series in 1981 and 1982. Those were bookended by Dick Trickle in 1980 and 83. Those later became the K&M Pro Series, K&M Pro Series East, K&M Pro Series West. Sometimes they meet up in the middle, and they do host huge events, even one here at Elko from time to time. Also, Sauter took the track championship at Kaukauna, the Wisconsin International Speedway, in 1981 while doing multiple series. One where he ran in Cup, he ran in ASA, ran in the full ARCO series. His first Cup race was at Charlotte in the 1980 National 500 and final Cup race at Bristol in the Goodies Headache Powder in 1996. Although he had 4 top tens only in that 76 race span, he never ran full time. I'm sure he would have put up much better stats. He made 4 starts in the Busch Series and 2 in truck. 1970 and 71 are what really launched Jim, as he was dominant in the IMCA IMSA Series and even finished first here in the North Star 500 at the Minnesota State Fairgrounds after a close cohort Tom Reffner lost a wheel leading the race with 223 laps while leading Sauter. That previous year, Sauter finished second to Ron Hutchinson. Also, of course, Bob Doerr was the dominant force at the Minnesota State Fairgrounds, and Durr wrecked out prior to that. In the 1971 win, driving for Dave Marcus, Sauter said the funny thing about that race was the fact that they had a barn full of various brands of tires that they wanted to use up, and ended up with Goodyear on the outside and Firestone on the inside for only that reason. They wanted to use them up. Everyone thought it must be some kind of strategy, some kind of hot tip as far as the Firestones and the Goodyears. But Dave Marcus once again called Sauter in 1978, asked him to drive his car in the ARCA 200. Sauter battled Bruce Hill for the win on the last lap. They racked. Hill ended up in the wall, and Sauter won. Jim Sauter lapped the field for the first time when the ARCO Series visited Elko Speedway in Minnesota, July 26, 1981. I'm proud to say I was there for that, and flagman Ken Wallstead and track officials say it's one of their favorite memories at the Third Mile Oval. It's a pretty big deal. It was a 100-lap event, So obviously, you know, you had more time to lap the entire field, but still for him to do it, win it, hey, get her, got her done. Jim is also known as the father of Jay, Tim, Johnny, Jim Jr., who all pursued different levels of racing careers. As I trace through the history, I find one common denominator, and that is that the ASA series. Jim ran the ASA series. The boys made their way up through the ASA series to NASCAR. Of course, Jim raised them in the mecca that is Midwest short track racing in Wisconsin, namely their hometown of Nisida. The choices were endless. Wausau, La Crosse, Kakana, which is the Wisconsin International Speedway, Slingerland. Yeah, Wisconsin Dells, Milwaukee Mile, across the border in Rockford, Illinois, across the border in Minnesota at Raceway Park or Elko Speedway, down in Laverne, Minnesota. There was, as I just found out, there was actually only three paved tracks back then in Illinois, one being Rockford, another being Illiana, I believe. Illiana Raceway Park, and then the other, I forget. But needless to say, there was numerous dirt tracks all over the place, whether it was Rice Lake, Cedar Lake, Menominee. I could spend all decades talking about all them. That wasn't their choice. Jim made it very specific that he only ran asphalt. All the boys were cutting their teeth along the way. Jay broke out driving in the truck series for Felix Sabatis, Savco, in 1996 en route to taking over the number three for Childress in 1997. You know, the old Dale Earnhardt looking Goodwrench truck. That was when Mike Skinner became the second cup team to Dale Earnhardt, where Skinner took Rookie of the Year in the Cup Series. Jay ran 90 starts from 1996 and collected four wins in the Truck Series. His first was at Loudon and then last at Texas in 1999. He also ran two in Cup in 2002 and 130 races in the Xfinity / Busch Series from 2000 to 2007. Collected 23 top tens and one pole along the way. Another common denominator, he made many starts for Richard Childress as well as Johnny. And he also drove a car for Dave Marcus along the way. Tim Sauter. Tim took the ASA series in 1999 and again ran every major NASCAR series. Out of 141 races in the three major NASCAR divisions, he only managed 10 top 10s. But once again, he was dominant in ASA and the ARCO series and, of course, 99 ASA championship. He's second oldest to Jim's boys next to Jay Sauter. Here goes the big one. Johnny, where do you even start? A lot of research and a lot of condensing and a lot of... So far, I've been covering stats, name-dropping the Childress name with the Sauter family, the Marcus name with the Sauter family, Mike Curb with the Sauter family. Jim said there is just something about John that sets him apart. I met Johnny on multiple occasions spanning from 1997 to now, and he is just that marketing dream, that talent. He still looks like a little kid. Comic relief in a rainout. Father Jim said that when John says he's going to be busy for a while, he meant it. He'd pack up in the late winter and not be back till winter began again. He was a workhorse. I'm going to call him a fun horse because he loved every minute of it, still does. I remember one day on TV when Jim was wearing his IROC True Value uniform, testing cars, and, you know, he's alongside there with Dick Trickle and Dave Marcus and the other IROC officials. he was asked how his sons are doing. He made reference that he heard that John was around there somewhere. They're at they're running the IROC series at Michigan that weekend, preparing cars. And Jim said, "I'll buy him dinner if he'll just slow down long enough." The first time I met Johnny was at the season finale at Elko, like I mentioned, where his dad, almost two decades before, left the entire field. He was a humble kid, fresh out of high school in 1996. I met him in 97. He made it no big deal of his family name. And wow, how his career literally hit the fast track. And it's still not about to slow down. The following year, he joined the ranks of Steve LeFevre Racing from Lakeville, Minnesota. That was a pretty big operation. They had multiple late models, ASA cars. They even rented cars from Jimmy Spencer to run Jimmy Mars at the Milwaukee Mile. It was a pretty big outfit. All the while, once again, Richard Childress had him on the radar. ASA was Johnny's focus before he went full-time in NASCAR running for LeFevre in ASA. And then Alec Pincinault was his final ride in ASA. I even recall Mike Garvey from LeFevre putting the bumper to him when Johnny had dominated the Minnesota State for Miller Lite 300 and never got the lead back. I believe that was in 2000. Bigger and better things have happened for Johnny, and that bumper from a former teammate from LeFevre are long in the rear room. He posted 10 wins in the ASA in 2001 before his NASCAR career took off. Of course, winning the ASA championship in 2001. NASCAR career started to take off in 2001 for Childress in the then Busch series. So the guy was on the fast track of fast tracks. Johnny only amassed one top five in the Cup Series, but won three times in the Xfinity / Busch Series, with his first being at Chicago in 2002. He has 21 wins now in the Truck Series, as well as his 2016 Truck Series championship, a 2017 runner-up, and he's well on his way to a championship in 2018. Let's not forget to bring up, Johnny took over the number two AC Delco in the Busch Series after Kevin Harvick put it up as the championship when he pulled double duty in 2001, replacing the number three as the number 29 in Cup when Earnhardt Sr. passed away. Harvick, of course, took the number two to the championship in 2001 and won multiple Cup races. Johnny shared duties with Harvick in the 21, and together they took the owner's title in 2003 in the Busch Series. At 40 years old, he is far from hanging it up, and I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't get tapped on the shoulder and gets that first Cup win. It's yet to happen. Found out a fun tidbit, too. Johnny loves to play banjo. I can't picture it, but hey, never knew that about him. Smile on my face for that one. The last time Johnny ran the Cup Series on a regular basis was with Haas CNC, where Tony Stewart became majority share owner as Stewart Haas Racing began. As fate would be, this was what propelled him into what is now his huge success in the Truck Series. Jim raced with everyone from one-hit wonders to multi-time champions on all levels. I watched him run against the likes of Dick Trickle, Rusty Wallace, Alan Kulwicki, Ken Schrader, Mark Martin, Dale Earnhardt, Darrell Waltrip, even, you know, I mean, it's a big who's who, but everything, even testing IROC cars. We know that, but did you know that He did it with Sammy Swindell of the World of Outlaws. That was one of the few drivers from really outside of stock car racing that, I mean, it would have been really cool to see like John Forrest or maybe Tony Schumacher or, you know, someone like that to step in. But Sammy Swindell, that's just cool. Maybe Brittany and Courtney Forrest revived the International Race of Champions. They can put the Pontiac Firebirds going down the dragway. I mean, they're kind of like funny cars. Why not? I have to include, as I call this, the story of Soldered in Time. With a name like Sauter, S-A-U-T-E-R, ironically, it sounds like Sauter, S-O-D-E-R. And coincidentally, Jim was longtime sponsored by Burns-O-Matic torches, which, of course, were used to solder. One thing I really respect about the years of Jim and his boys spent racing is that Jim came from the school of drivers that kept no secrets. If Trickle could help a guy be more competitive, that's what he did. If Jim could give a guy advice about tire bias, he did. If Rusty Wallace had knowledge about weight bias, weight distribution, he gave it. Sure, guys like Kyle Petty always said, if you weren't cheating, you weren't winning. Well, that's not something that the guys from the Minnesota, Wisconsin, Illinois, Missouri area ever stood by. I'm sure there was guys circumventing the rules, but I guarantee Jim wasn't one of them. Maybe that's why he made a great chief test driver for the IROC series. Thanks again for tuning in to another History of Motorsports in Motion. We'll delve into the Minnesota and Wisconsin trucks, as well as the Wallaces from Missouri, guys from Illinois, many, many more stories to tell. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back.